story took place when I was probably maybe 8 or 9 or 10 years old, something like that. And it must have been my birthday. Now, is the circus still a thing? I think Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus is defunct now, right? Yeah, there's the Big Apple Circus, but when I was a kid, I really had a hankering to go to the circus, and I asked my parents, you know, maybe Dad and I could go to the circus when it's in town. That'd be a nice gift, you know? And my birthday came, and I remember we were celebrating, and it was opening up all my minor gifts, but I'll usually wait till the grand finale to have the big prize given to you. And everybody had these long faces on. And my father finally said, "Son, you're not going to be going to the circus. We did not get tickets to the circus for you for your birthday." I was, I was really disappointed. And I'm looking around at all these long faces, and I look at my brother, who, and I can picture this as if it happened yesterday. My brother was sitting on the stairs off the living room that went up to the second floor to our bedrooms, and his face changed a little bit, and he said, "Ken," this is my older brother, 5 years older than me, he says, "Ken, you know why you're not going to the circus? Because we got..." And he held them up. "We got tickets to the Red Sox game instead." Talk about a pleasant surprise, right? And that's a humorous little anecdote from my childhood, which serves, I hope, to illustrate the point I'm going to make about prayer. Ask and you shall receive. But oftentimes it's not what you asked for, because God, who sees the big picture, the loving Father who knows what is truly best for us, and who, like in Jesus' message today, will never give us anything bad, even if we ask for it, or inferior, even if we ask for it, always gives us the best possible gift. There's this perennial question that people ask when talking about prayer, and prayer is a mystery. There's a lot that we can't say about it. The way it works, though, is mysterious, but we can say certain things for sure. And one of those things is the answer to the question, the perennial question, does God answer all prayers? The answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. And another perennial question about prayer is, does prayer change God's mind? Because we're instructed to petition God. So it's a fair question, but when we think about it, the answer is of course not. Prayer doesn't change God's mind. You know, it's not like he's up there going, "Okay, I've got this plan here. I'm going to do this and that. And then here we come and say, oh Lord, give me this." And it's different from his, "Oh," he's not up there going, "Oh, isn't that a good idea? I wished I'd thought of that." The answer to the question, does prayer change God's mind? No, of course not. Prayer conforms our mind and will to the mind and will of God. God knows what we're going to ask, and he inspires us for what we're going to ask, even before a word is on our tongue. But he wants us to ask so that we can better know what his plan is for us. And this is exactly what's happening in the first reading from the book of Genesis with Abraham and God. This is a very culturally based incident that's transpiring in the first reading, because it's very Hebrew to dicker back and forth. Then that's what Abraham is doing with God. He's trying to get the best possible deal that he can. You know, how low can I go in the number of people that need to be alive, the good people that need to be in Sodom and Gomorrah before the place is spared? If you ever go over to Israel and buy something, you know, they'll be disappointed if you don't make a counteroffer.
When that's what's happening on one level, but on a deeper, more important level, Abraham is getting affirmation that what he suspects about God is absolutely true. He's exploring the depths of God's incredible mercy. And God is saying to Abraham, "You're right about me. You've got me pegged right, Abraham. Because my mercy is such that if I can find anybody worth saving in Sodom and Gomorrah, I will spare the place." Another thing that we can say about prayer is that Jesus does expect us to persevere in asking for something. Sometimes we are inspired to ask for something that is exactly God's will. And he has every intention of answering the prayer the way we ask. But he will delay in responding, not because he's being contrary and difficult, but because the act of persevering in prayer and growing in faith, his strengthening our spiritual muscles, so to speak, growing in the image and likeness of him, our Lord, that is actually the greater gift that we're receiving. And when he finally answers the prayer and gives us what we're asking for, that can be secondary. Because nothing is more important than the Spirit of God being given to us, flooding us so that we can be holier and be better disciples, better Christians, better Catholics. Jesus says at the very end, "Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened to you." He does not say, because you're going to get exactly what you ask for. He says, the Father will not fail to give the Holy Spirit. And however he answers the prayers, whether it's what we ask for or something, like in my little anecdote, different from what we ever expected, the bottom line is that the foundation of all these gifts is his very Spirit, his very life in us for our salvation. Now, having said all that, you may be wondering why the deacon and I are wearing white instead of green. You may be wondering why we have all this incense on an ordinary 10 o'clock Mass in the 17th Sunday of Ordinary Time. Well, the Mass is always extraordinary, but we have a very surprise gift for you today. Because we have a fine young man who's also dressed in white, his navy whites. His name is Jacob Stanhope. And Jacob has been preparing since last fall to become a Catholic Christian. And he was going to be initiated into the church with my proxy. He's got two proxies because I have the honor of being Jacob's sponsor, his godfather, so to speak. But he's sitting with Tony Havens, who went through the RCA initiation process and was baptized, confirmed, and received First Holy Communion at the Easter Vigil. And Bernie Joyce is one of the catechists, and she's my other proxy. They're going to stand in for me. We have the deacon here, who's the tip of the spear for the RCA process. We have Dr. John Howland, who's so critical to that, and he's here with us because we had a little bit of disappointment. See, this is the way God works. You ask for something, and Jacob has been asking and asking and asking for the Holy Spirit, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in baptism and confirmation, and to receive Jesus in Holy Communion. And we had it all set. He was going to receive it with Tony at the Easter Vigil. But Jacob, who had been in the Navy and had discerned through prayer that he is being called back to be an officer in the Navy, had applied to officers' training schools in Newport, Jacob. And guess what? The answer from the Navy and from God was yes. But he had to report, I believe, was it Easter Sunday or was it that Saturday? He had to report to officers' training school the very day we were going to baptize, confirm him, and give him Holy Communion. And like I was crestfallen because I didn't receive the tickets to the Barnum and Bailey Circus, who pops up last weekend, having gone through basic training, and who is going to be shipped out to Pearl Harbor as a second lieutenant and ensign tomorrow? Or is it, it's tomorrow, right? He's going to be shipped out tomorrow, but he popped up here last week at the 10 o'clock Mass, and God quickly gave us the grace to mastermind the fruition of everything that he and we have been asking to give him. So it's a great gift for all of us, and so we're going to see God do what he promised to do and what we've been asking for momentarily. Let's enjoy it and savor it and thank God for it.